Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Excuse me. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. It is January the 18th of the year 2016. I hope everybody is well and blessed, making the best of their current situation. Or situations, I should say, and just know that the best days are yet to come. There's a lot of great blessings ahead for us all. A lot of good stuff transpiring and happening in the world, and this is prophecy being fulfilled. And it's a wonderful thing. It's truly a wonderful and blessed thing. Oh boy, I forgot to click on the. I got 15 minutes today. Wasn't paying attention. So anyhow, let me get started. Just kind of want to touch on a couple of things, but anyhow, you know, there's some great days ahead. Ted Cruz. The name of this broadcast is Cosby, Cruz, and Iran. Let me start with Mr. Cosby right quick, folks. On this particular situation, on discussing this. And I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to my broadcast. Let me just say that. And tell some folks, tell people, you know, because we can open up some, you know, some trends of thought and open up our minds to other scenarios and other realities. But anyhow, they have this current prosecutor, and let me see if I can get a name here. Okay, the former district attorney in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, that he has agreed more than a decade ago that Mr. Cosby gave his deposition or gave a deposition in exchange for immunity from any type of further prosecution from any other court, equal court. And the current, and this was Bruce Castor. He also sent a 2015 email to his successor, Reza Vitry Furman, to remind him that you know that Mr. Cosby was already into an agreement in that case or in that civil action, and gave his testimony, waived his Fifth Amendment position to give a testimony that was, you know, somewhat incriminating, I guess. I really haven't taken the time to look at it because, you know, pretty much it's kind of a moot point. And the reason I say that is because, and even Castor, you know, like he says, you know, he's quoting, and I quote, "I can see no possibility that Cosby disposition could be used in a state criminal case because I would have to testify as to what happened. And deposition would be subject to suppression." So he's basically saying that whole deposition cannot be used. Now, some people say, well, can we go about it in another, you know, state or whatever the case may be? This is very much and highly unlikely to occur because judges aren't really in, especially on the same, you know, level, you know, of judge, you know, of their judgeship, if you will, to overturn, you know, another judge's ruling or determination or findings or, you know, their conclusions, if you will. This would be very a very sticky matter if this was to occur. Now, can a higher court overturn a lower court's judge, you know, ruling? Yes, they can, depending upon what the charges are. Now, in this particular case, with Mr. Cosby, it would have to be some type of a civil rights violation, or some type of a hate crime or some type of federal crime that has been done by Mr. Cosby or carried out by Mr. Cosby on these alleged victims, which this certainly is not the case here. What we're overlooking and what, you know, everyone basically is overlooking here is that these were consensual occurrences or consensual meetings between Mr. Cosby and these the alleged accusers or these ladies that had, you know, sexual involvements with Mr. Cosby, 40 some years ago. This whole thing is just totally amazing because I don't hear them talking about the issue of consent. You know, these were consenting adults. There was a consent, an agreement between, Mr. Cosby and these ladies that would come to his door, knocking on his door at all hours of the day. A lot occurred. I'm almost 100% certain in the wee hours of the morning, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. You know, these were kind of like booty calls, if you will. And forgive me for, putting it out there like that, but it is what it is. And then they come back, 40-some years later, with these accusations of rape, if you will. And this is just totally preposterous. It's totally preposterous because, say, for instance, I mean, just think of how many people, almost everybody, that's ever had sex, had sexual activity, could come back and say, 20 years later, 30, 40 years later, whatever the case may be, that, hey, yeah, we had sex, but you raped me. I didn't consent to that at that day and time, and just, just pretty much make up something. Just like that's what's happening right here and right now. So, we have to put a rein on this. We have to, draw this, to a close and a conclusion and not allow, the media to fester this thing because, that's really what it's all about. Again, more sensationalism, more things to talk about. We wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about if this wasn't, forefront, in the media at this particular time. But again, it's a dead horse. It's a totally dead horse because when you look at, the thing of consent, now these ladies say, well, we were drugged and stuff, because we, took Quaaludes and Valium and different things like that. They were, yeah, sure. They were probably offered. See, that's a whole different thing. Again, you have another level of consent. Mr. Cosby did not inject, these things or, they say that he tampered with their drinks and stuff. I don't think that you can, liquidate, or turn Quaaludes into a liquid form to, put in these drinks and things of that nature, to slip them, a Mickey or whatever. Now, back in the day and time, I heard of that before, slipping them Mickeys and things of that nature, But I don't think that this is what occurred. And the reason I say that I don't think that this is what occurred is simply because not a day later, not a week later, not a month later, not a year later, not 5 years later, not 10 years later, not 30 years later, 40 years plus later, these women have come forward saying that he done something wrong to me. Now the statute of limitation is gone, way gone. I think it was 4 years or typically 4 years in this particular in court cases and stuff. But had Mr. Cosby, done something, to violate, these ladies or these women against their will, they would have went to the authorities, the next day, the next morning, if they woke up and felt offended or they felt that, that they felt raped, or something like, has gone wrong or something the case may be, while they still had this, this drug, these alleged drugs, in their system. They had a case. If that was a case, they had a case then. If that was the case, if that was truly the truth. But these were consenting adults. And time, concludes this particular case, this particular argument, that there was consent on both sides. Were they of age? Were they were they adults? Yes, they were. And Mr. Cosby, there was no markings on these ladies. There was no signs of violent attacks or anything like that. They had no, no evidence of visual evidence or anything like that of any type of, physical, attacks or activities or anything of that nature. So we roll back, we have to roll back to reality and the truth. And the truth is, consenting adults, in this particular case. And that's truly the bottom line. I hope and pray that, the ears of influence, hear this broadcast. I'm sure that they will. But, this is what we have to look at. This is what closes this case, once and for all, in the eyes of consent or consensual sexual activities. Again, like I say, if that were the case, there's a whole lot of women in, in this United States that come back, and file civil damages for consensual sex, relations that they had, in years past, 10, 20, 30, 50, or, there would be no statute of limitation. There would be, just be wide open. And, we can close it. So, looking at, what this new DA is all about, again, he gets exposure. He gets, visualization. He gets, media time and all this other kind of stuff. Of course, he's going to pursue this, even though there's nothing there. And we have to step forward and close this case, once and for all. And, God bless all people involved, Mr. Cosby and these ladies and stuff like that. But, back in that day and time, Bill Cosby was a hot property. He was very very wealthy and had done a lot of good things in television, and one of the first, African Americans to, be so visual, in America. He had a couple of great shows out there and things of that nature. He was just, he was hot. He was what was happening. So, when you're hot in the industry, you're pursued by, all kinds of people in the industry, especially, a lot of the ladies and stuff out there, that want to get with a guy like this, and this is what happened as far as the Quaaludes and the Valium and different things like that. Those were designer drugs at the time. That was the hot drug of that day and time. Cause I know because, I was, I'm kind of a product of that day and time, and these were, very familiar. If you ever want to see a funny episode, just kind of jump track, watch The Wolf of Wall Street with DiCaprio, and they take these Valium, they take the Quaaludes, and you'll kind of see how Quaaludes, string you out, stuff like that. But very funny, very humorous show. And I personally enjoyed it and stuff, but I liked his work anyhow. But anyhow, but those were the designer drugs of that day and time. So, ladies on that, especially status level ladies, ladies that were upperly, mobile and had status and stuff, they were, into these type of, pop, but they still do it today. They still do it today. And I know this for a fact because, someone that I know, I have a good, doctor friend, and some of his employees, were, caught, prescribing these type of drugs, even in this day and time, and were prosecuted and fired and all that other kind of stuff. So, I know what I'm talking about in this particular regard. So this is totally consensual. The drugs that they took, they were consensual, simply because that was a hot drug of that day and time. And this needs to close. Let Mr. Cosby go on about his way. He's an old guy. He's been damaged enough, in terms of, the Huxtables and all the kind of goodness, things of that nature and stuff like that. And I'm a little disappointed that, all of his, cast members and all of his friends and stuff, it seemed like they've stuck by his side, but not, wholeheartedly. And this is what really needs to take place, So you can't go back and condemn a man for consensual sex and no violation. There's nothing, it can't go up to a higher court because there's no violations in that particular regard, involved here. So it's a moot point. Good for TV, though. Good for media. Good for news and stuff like that. Personally, other than that, it's a done deal. Now, we're done with that. I got 90 seconds left because I didn't, pick out a 30-minute slot. But anyhow, jumping over right quick to Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a done deal, folks. It's a wrap, and here's why. I don't hear him really talking about this too much, but I did catch this, in the media as far as verification and validation is concerned. And the guy that gave the testimony, I don't know if I wrote his name down here or not. No, I don't think I did. I don't think I wrote the guy's name down here. But anyhow, he was a very high ranking individual let me see. I'm trying to see if I wrote his name down. No, I don't have it out here. But anyhow, he is confirmed. He has confirmed, and you can do so as well. That Ted Cruz is not an American. Well, he may be now, but he's not an American. Well, let me just say, he he's not a he was not born here in America. Okay, and furthermore, his mother, and this is what disqualifies Mr. Cruz. His mother, at the time of Mr. Cruz's birth, was a registered voter in Canada. Now, if you are a registered voter in another country, you are a citizen. You have done and gone through the process of citizenship in that country and has been satisfied to receive such status. Okay, now, if Mr. Cruz was born in Canada, his mother at the time being a registered Canadian or a Canadian citizen, a citizen of Canada, and his father being of Cuban descent, there are no factors here involved that would qualify Mr. Cruz to become a presidential candidate. He is totally disqualified. The findings that Mr. Trump come up with, you know, people call him madman, people call him this and that, but Mr. Trump is a very skillful and crafty and, you know, cunning type person. He is a sharp blade. I'm going to tell you that. He didn't get to where he's at, his rise, his fall, and his rise again, his resurrection, did not come by being, you know, a dummy. You know, he is a very sharp cookie, a very sharp blade. And, you know, when he came out with this accusation of this information or this, you know, findings and stuff, I had a debate with some guys that were on the political, you know, in the political realm. And at that particular time, I walked away because, you know, we all walked away because there was no confirmation, you know, in regards to what a natural born citizen constitutes. You know, the Constitution of even our Constitution doesn't have that well defined. And we need to go ahead and make that definition. The higher courts need to go ahead and find, you know, come up with a finding or a resolution, you know, to what is considered. I find it very bewildering and baffling that we are here, we are, you know, where we are in this day and time in our society, our current society, and we don't have that clear language, you know, in the Constitution or anywhere thereabouts in the judicial of filing for presidency or running for a president of this great nation. We need to go ahead and close that up, you know, right quick, because it's a simple process. It's a simple thing. You know, it's not a complex thing. You only have so many variables, you know, that can be looked at or have to be confirmed, you know, to say that this is a, you know, he's either qualified or disqualified for running for president. It'd be a horrible thing for somebody to become president of this United States, get 2 years into the term, and then somebody come along and uncover something that says, hey, wait a minute, he's disqualified. So now we have to go through a dismantling or an impeachment, you know, of the president simply because we haven't, you know, a clear language or a framework to determine what is, you know, to be disqualified or disqualify a candidate or someone to run for the president of this United States of America. Okay, so ears of influence, we got to get on that right now. Get on it quick. I know you are. And we got to get that resolved, you know, quickly. So we won't have run into this. But in terms of modern day and time where we are right now, Mr. Cruz is clearly, you know, disqualified from being the president of this United States. That's a top one for Mr. Trump. Another one, you know, ride by the wayside. Now he's probably going to start focusing on Mr. Rubio. Okay, and once he gets the dismantling the Republican Party of the candidates for the Republican candidate, you're probably going to see Mr. Trump do some type of a moonwalk, if you will, and find a reason to bow out. You know, some type of, you know, real dramatic, overblown reason for him to bow out of the race. And that's pretty much a door open for Ms. Clinton to come on through because, like I said before, Mr. Sanders, God bless him, but he's just not, you know, electable. He's a sweet old guy and all that kind of stuff. He's got a good, you know, a lot of good things in the platform, but he's just not electable in regards to being able to withstand the office of President of the United States, of this United States. Briefly, Paul Ryan, you know, he tried to keep his poker face, you know, sitting behind Mr. Obama during the State of the Union. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because his wife, Jenna, says that she's sick and tired, being sick and tired of all, political wrangling and all that kind of stuff. And I applaud her and understand where she's coming from. She said, don't be sitting behind the president shaking your head, in the negative and all that kind of stuff. That stuff really needs to stop. It's so childish, and it's just not a good look for the leader of the world, the leader nation of the free world. We have to come together. Mr. Obama has done a remarkable job in terms of negotiations with Iran, the coalition of the great nations. There's a saying that I want to share before I get off the air. So, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer, you see. So, we have to, this is one of those old phrases and stuff like that that, that has to play out here. And I think that you're going to find, that we'll find going forward because, Iran is Persia. And you look at their history and things of that nature, they have never been a nation to attack. They've always been in defense of, someone attacking them. And, why can't we get along? Why can't we, bridge, the road of peace, and work at, work together, as great nations. And this includes Russia and China and India and, Brazil and, Iran and all these great nations. But if we have nations, we have people that are always out there trying to tear down, progress, and, of peace and harmony and stuff like that. Who are they? You see, blessed are the children, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. You see, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. So anything that anyone, I don't care who you are, if you're in opposition of peace and harmony, then you're certainly not a child of God. And this is not me talking, this is the book, this is the scripture talking. So anyhow, we have to just, put it up there as that. So anyhow, that's my brief broadcast for today. I'm going to come back again, real soon, maybe tomorrow, someday, real soon, to, follow up and open up some great, oh, check this out. I found Jesus. I found Yeshua. We're going to touch on that as well. That's it. I got some really, really, really good stuff on that particular note that we're going to bring forward and all that kind of good stuff. And this is for bringing all mankind together. Just like the earth, look up, if you can, and I know I got to go, but look up Peterson's projection. And Peterson's projection, you just put it in your search engine there, and you'll see a map of the Earth. And what you look at all the pieces of the Earth and see how they all fit together as one land mass or one geographical, piece of land, as one. You see, one piece. And then, over time and all this other kind of stuff, they separate it. But you can see how they all fit together. And you can now you can kind of spin your mind as to how all mankind is one. Came from one source, migrated out, separated apart, the lands apart, it can't get back together, started their own, cultures and different things like that. But we are all one people, folks, and this is undeniable. One land, one God, one people, one way of life, and that is righteousness. And this is the principle that Yeshua, Jesus, lived and studied under, and that what he was condemned for, simply because he would not. What crime did he commit? What crime did he commit? Think about that. You see, believing in God, believing in one God, that was his crime, and that's what he was put to death for. Try to find something else. Oh, he did kick over the tax table, but try to find something else that he was, to be punished to death for. You won't find it anywhere. But anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. And we'll see you on the next broadcast. Take care for now, and so long.